Good evening. This is Akashwani and I am Nishit Kumar with the news at 9. The headlines. The National Democratic Alliance announces seat-sharing arrangement for Bihar Assembly elections, BJP and JDU to contest on 101 seats each, LJP Ram Vilas on 29, while RLM and HIM on 6 seats each. US President Donald Trump to join world leaders in Egypt tomorrow to finalize Gaza peace deal aimed at ending war in the region. Afghanistan warns Pakistan of using other options if good relations with Kabul severed. 2,000 Indian origin Tamil beneficiaries in Sri Lanka receive entitlement documents under India-aided housing project. India defeat New Zealand 4-2 in Sultan Johor Cup Junior Men's Hockey 2025 in Malaysia, and in Women's ODI Cricket World Cup match between India and Australia underway in Vishakhapatnam. And now the news in detail. The National Democratic Alliance NDA has announced seat sharing for Bihar elections. In a social media post, BJP General Secretary Vinod Tavade informed that BJP and JDU will contest on 101 seats each, Lok Jan Shakti Party Ram Vilas on 29 seats, Rashtriya Lok Morcha and Hindustani Awam Morcha on 6 seats each. The announcement came after formal talks of top leaders of allies in the BJP headquarters in New Delhi. We have more from our correspondent.
After the marathon talks and rounds of persuasion among the BJP and its allies, a final decision on seat sharing in the NDA has been reached today. Both the major parties in the alliance, the BJP and the JDU, have had to reduce their share of seats this time to save the alliance amid elections. In the 2020 assembly elections in the state, the BJP had contested 110 seats, while the Janata Dal United contested 115 seats. The BJP had won 74 of those seats. At that time, Chirag Paswan, Lok Jan Shakti Party Ram Vilas had contested the elections independently. This had caused a division of votes in several constituencies, resulting in losses for the JDU, which was reduced to just 43 seats. With Chirag Paswan now back in the NDA fold, how the ruling alliance will benefit from his inclusion will only become clear after the 2025 election results. Meanwhile, the seat-sharing puzzle within the Grand Alliance remains unresolved. Dharmendra Kumar Rai, Akashwani News, Patna.
Prime Minister and senior BJP leader Narendra Modi will interact with booth-level party workers of Bihar on Wednesday. In a social media post, Mr. Modi requested the party workers to join the Mera Booth Sabse Majboot campaign and share their suggestions. The Prime Minister added that he will directly interact with some selected workers on their suggestions. An international peace summit will be held in Egypt's Sharm el-Sheikh tomorrow to finalize an agreement aimed at ending the war in Gaza. U.S. President Donald Trump and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi will co-chair the meeting, which is expected to see participation from leaders of more than 20 countries, including UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer and UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres. According to a statement from the Egyptian presidency, the summit aims to end the war in the Gaza Strip, enhance efforts to bring peace and stability to West Asia, and usher in a new era of regional security and stability. We have more details from our Dubai correspondent.
The gathering comes in light of United States President Donald Trump's vision for achieving peace in the region and his efforts to end conflicts around the world. Cairo said that the summit is designed to finalize an agreement aimed at ending the war in Gaza and rally international support for the second phase of Trump's peace plan, which seeks to disarm Hamas and create a new governing body in the Strip. However, neither Israel nor Hamas will participate in the event, and the Palestinian Authority is also not attending. The summit follows a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas that entered into effect on Friday after 3 days of intensive negotiations in Sharm el-Sheikh between the two sides, mediated by Egypt, Qatar, Turkey and the United States. The first phase of the plan includes Israeli troop withdrawals from Gaza and the opening of crossings for aid and the release of hostages and prisoners. Under the agreement, Hamas has time until Monday to release all Israeli hostages, including 20 who are believed to be alive and the remains of up to 28 deceased hostages. Vinod Kumar, Kashwani News, Dubai.
Afghanistan Foreign Minister Amir Khan Muttaqi warned Pakistan today that Kabul has other options if Islamabad does not seek good relations and peace. Speaking about the ongoing conflict between the two countries during a media briefing in Delhi, the Afghan foreign minister stated that Afghanistan will continue to protect its sovereignty.
Afghanistan will safeguard its border and its national interest, and that is why it immediately retaliated to the escalation from Pakistan. We achieved our military objective last night, and our friends Qatar and Saudi Arabia have expressed that this conflict should come to an end. So we have paused it from our side for the time being. The situation is now under control.
Mr. Muttaqi stressed that while a few sections of Pakistan are attempting to deteriorate the situation, the people of Pakistan desire peaceful relations with Afghanistan. On being asked about women journalists not being invited to his press briefing 2 days ago, the Afghan foreign minister said it was a technical issue as the briefing was held on a short notice and a short list of journalists was decided. He claimed that there was no other intention apart from this. Meanwhile, the Afghan Taliban claimed responsibility for deadly cross-border attacks that killed 58 Pakistani troops, describing the action as retaliation for the Pakistani airstrike on a civilian market in Pakhtika province. Taliban spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid said the strikes targeted multiple border locations and also left 30 Pakistani personnel wounded. 9 Taliban fighters were killed and around 18 others were injured. In a landmark development in Sri Lanka, the next stage of the Indian housing project commenced today with the formal handover of entitlement documents to 2,000 beneficiaries from Indian origin Tamil community in Sri Lanka's upcountry region. The houses are part of the fourth phase of the Indian housing project that was announced by Prime Minister Narendra Modi during his visit to the upcountry region in 2017. We have more from our Colombo correspondent.
With the commencement of the next stage in the Indian housing project in Sri Lanka, India has advanced support for 14,000 houses for the Indian origin Tamil community under Phase 4. High Commissioner Santosh Jain noted,
India's commitment to housing covers 65,000 houses today spread across Sri Lanka. It covers all 25 districts of the country. It is a grant commitment of over 64 billion Sri Lankan rupees.
High Commissioner Jha emphasized that the initiative is not just about building homes, but about building futures through projects in education, healthcare, skills and community development, reaffirming India's enduring partnership and commitment to Sri Lanka's progress and stability. Sri Lanka's President Anura Kumaradesanayake expressed his gratitude to Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, the people of India and the Indian High Commissioner to Sri Lanka for the support extended by the Indian government towards improving the economic and social well-being of the Sri Lankan people. Ahmed Moin Farooqi, Akashwani News, Colombo.
This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website newsonair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. Welcome back to the News at 9. The GST Bachat Utsav announced by Prime Minister Narendra Modi and which commenced from the 22nd of last month is benefiting the country as a whole. Today, our correspondent brings a report on the GST reforms that will empower different industries of Goa.
The new GST reforms is a welcome boost for Goa's economy, especially for its farmers, artisans and small businesses. Under the revised structure, cashew products, which earlier faced 12% to 18% GST, now draws just 5%, helping reduce retail prices and improve competitiveness. GI tag products such as Kola chili, Harmal chili, and Agasam brinjal are now taxed at 5% instead of 18%, making sauces, pickles, and spice mix roughly 11% cheaper. Goa's tourism and hospitality sector stands to gain significantly. Items like toiletries, tableware and breakfast supplies that shifted from 18% to 5% will see price reduction of about 11%, while goods such as pre-packed coconut water moving from 12% to 5% have become about 6% cheaper. Sectors such as fisheries and seafood processing now enjoys relief as products now attract only a 5% tax rate. This move has strengthened the affordability of frozen fish, shrimp export and local seafood trade. The reforms are geared to boost demand, preserve livelihood and energize Goa's tourism and small businesses' economies through the festive season and beyond. With Samarth Rohan for Akashwani News, Delhi.
Science and Technology Minister Dr. Jitendra Singh has hailed the web GIS-based multi-hazard early warning decision support system developed by the India Meteorological Department, IMD, for saving nearly 250 crore rupees and ending dependence on foreign vendors. During his visit to IMD headquarters in New Delhi today, the minister reviewed the in-house technology-driven forecasting system and noted that it has also reduced an annual maintenance cost of about 5.5 crore rupees, reinforcing the vision of self-reliance. Minister of Youth Affairs and Sports Mansukh Mandavia lauded the efforts of ISKCON for starting a drug-free initiative across the country. Speaking to media after attending the Udgar Youth Festival organized by ISKCON in New Delhi, he said that under this initiative, more than 15,000 youths have pledged to be drug-free.
ISKCON International Dwara Udgar 2025.
Through the ISKCON International's Udgar 2025 program, more than 15,000 youths took an oath together to quit addiction. One individual also launched a campaign to make 100 people addiction-free. In the future, this campaign aims to free millions of youths from addiction and to contribute to the mission of building a Viksit Bharat.
Nasha mukt karke Viksit Bharat ke abhiyan mein judenge.
Prasar Bharati Chairman Dr. Navdeep Kumar Sehgal said that India's growing economy is earning new respect across the world. Speaking at the residential meet of ICAI members in public service in Goa today, Dr. Sehgal noted that India continues to grow at a strong pace of around 6.8 to 7%, rare and matched by any other major economy.
For the last 10 years, we are one of the largest economy which is growing at the fastest rate. We are growing at 6.8 to 7% in between. No economy in the world of this size is growing at that point.
A political uproar erupted over remarks made by West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee, who suggested that women should not go out at night. She made these comments while speaking to the media at Kolkata Airport about the alleged gang rape of a second-year MBBS student from a private medical college in Durgapur. Expressing concern over the incident, Ms. Banerjee said that girls should avoid going out at night as they need to take care of their own safety. However, the Chief Minister also emphasized that the investigation into the case is underway and assured that all the accused will be punished. And on to sports now. In Sultan Johor Cup Junior Men's Hockey 2025 in Johor Bahru, Malaysia, India today defeated New Zealand 4-2. For India, Arshdeep Singh, PB Sunil, Arijit Singh Hundal and Roshan Kujur scored one goal each. New Zealand fought hard and pulled two goals back via captains Gus Nelson and Aidan Backs, but despite India being down to 10 men in the dying minutes, they held on for their second consecutive victory in the tournament. India will next take on arch-rivals Pakistan on Tuesday. And in the ICC Women's ODI Cricket World Cup, Australia were 205 for 3 after 32 overs a short while ago, chasing the target of 331 set by India and Vishakhapatnam today. Put into bat first, India made 330 runs in 48.5 overs. Smriti Mandana scored 80 off 66 balls, while Pratika Rawal contributed 75. Mandana set records by becoming the first woman to score 1,000 ODI runs in a calendar year and the Indian with the most 50-plus scores against Australia. She and Rawal shared a 155-run opening stand. In men's cricket, West Indies scored 173 runs for two wickets in its second innings at stumps on the third day of the second test match being played in New Delhi. Shai Hope and John Campbell were at the crease when stumps were drawn. West Indies now trail by 97 runs. Earlier, India had enforced a follow-on on West Indies after dismissing visitors at 248 runs in their first innings on day three. Kuldeep Yadav made a world record as he took five wickets haul in 15 test matches, while Ravindra Jadeja took three wickets and Mohammad Siraj and Jasprit Bumrah took one wicket each. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. The National Democratic Alliance announces seat-sharing arrangement for Bihar Assembly elections. BJP and JDU to contest on 101 seats each, LJP Ram Vilas on 29, while RLM and HAM on 6 seats each. US President Donald Trump to join world leaders in Egypt tomorrow to finalize Gaza peace deal aimed at ending war in the region. Afghanistan warns Pakistan of using other options if good relations with Kabul severed. 2,000 Indian origin Tamil beneficiaries in Sri Lanka receive entitlement documents under India Aided Housing Project. India defeat New Zealand 4-2 in Sultan Johor Cup Junior Men's Hockey 2025 in Malaysia. And in Women's ODI Cricket World Cup, match between India and Australia underway in Vishakhapatnam. And that's all in the news at 9. Good night.